Hey, it's Simon.
And this is Martina.
And we're broadcasting out of Kichijoji, Tokyo, Japan, the greatest part of all of Japan.
Turns out that's just true.
It's true.
It's been fact-checked by Simon Martina.
Guinness and, Book of World Records yeah. came here and they gave us a
certified record for
the greatest part of Japan.
Yep, and Spudgy approved and Memers approved, and that's pretty much everyone. So.
We've been doing these podcasts, not regularly, but we've done a bunch of them and we've been saying this for a while. I really hope this branding sticks. I really want like 20 years from now, everyone to be like, hey, remember when Kichijoji is the best part of Japan? You got to remember that. We're just going to keep saying it until people remember it forever.
I like how you said, remember when Kichijoji was? See, there'd be no when was. They'd be like, ah, Kichijoji. Turns out that this is the best part of Japan.
Well, in case there's a post-apocalyptic water wars and zombie fights.
Oh, I see.
Then
so
historians
zombies.
Will look back on this.
And they'll go, ah, yes, Ebisu, the suckiest of places.
Boo to Ebisu.
Yokohama came up close one year because of the shiny things they had, but... nothing could beat Kichijoji, turns out.
I'm always happy talking to you.
Thanks.
You know that? Like we've been married for such a long time, and it always just feels great talking to you. And this is a weird segue because
I was unprepared for this. So.
Yeah, I know. I was unprepared for it also because what we're talking about today is checking in with ourselves. Like listening to our bodies, listening to how we feel. And I was just listening to like how I feel right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just always happy to like
you had
talk
bumbles
with
in
you.
Your tummy?
I still feel bumbles in my stomach when I talk to you. And this kind of transitions from the start of the day. I went out to get some coffee beans.
Oh, so if you need to know our daily schedule,
yes.
Simon will always be awake before me because I have been awake before him around 3 a.m.
Right. You usually like are awake for a couple hours in a night.
Yeah, I usually wake up after about 3 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
So no matter when I go to sleep, I'll be awake 3 hours later. And be like annoyed and angry, and there's been a lot of pressure coming in from different changing cloud structures, which we'll get to. So Simon gets up because I've already been awake all day and I'm exhausted. I'm like in bed.
We've just come back from Creator Summer, which we were like in Tokyo for 3 days but not in our home, so like there is a lot of stuff that was missing in our house that we had to get, and I went out to get some coffee beans today.
Yes.
And as I was biking, I just felt terrible.
You felt glum?
I felt glum. I felt heavy. And I kept on trying to think of reasons why. I was like thinking about like YouTube. I was thinking about our marriage. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about myself. And I was...
you're trying to figure it out is what you mean to say.
Trying to find reasons for why I was feeling this way. Trying to find a rationality for it. And sometimes there is no rationality for the way that we feel. Sometimes like the way that we feel is just like a body thing rather than like a situational thing.
So desu ne. So here comes to exactly the major point that we've been discussing for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
When Simon says that it's something to do with your body, this is something that people who have chronic pain.
Right.
It's not one of those like, you know, us versus you. It's simply that when you're in chronic pain, I firmly believe I am not a scientist.
Right.
Pull up my rubber gloves.
Yes.
I'm a doctor. But what I mean is because your body's constantly in pain, it's always trying to convince you that you need to stay home because you're in danger mode.
Yeah.
So think of it like, and all of you guys have had a cold at one point or even a flu or something that made you throw up and have diarrhea from every end at once. Like we've all had, I hope. I mean, I don't hope, but.
I hope you all had terrible diarrhea. Do you hear that? Viewers, we've been with you for 11 years. I hope you shat your pants at least once in your life.
Squirt just a little bit.
Just a little squirt.
Just me, no.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
I hope you never experience it. When I got Norwalk virus.
Right, that was terrible. God. That was terrible. Point
well,
is,
okay, the, what I'm trying to say is you've at least had a cold, and if not, you're an X-Men. So you've had a cold, and you feel mopey, and you don't want to go to work, and you don't want to go to school, that's for sure, and you don't want to do anything. You feel like, it smells so bad. Like, you feel so crappy.
Right.
Now, imagine that happening every single day.
For sure.
So what I've realized is that you can actually take control of these things that are trying to convince you if you can acknowledge it. So when I wake up in the morning, I go, oh my God, my body feels terrible. Like I have a subluxed shoulder. My jaw's been out all night because I ground my teeth too hard. My thumb came out. Like my kneecaps are totally shifted over.
Yeah.
I wake up and I go, F this day. I'm not getting out of bed. But that is if I listen to what my body's telling me.
And like going back to the cold thing, like you sometimes hear online, like women complaining about men becoming huge babies whenever they get cold. And like, what's the point of becoming a baby when you get a cold?
Yeah.
So that you could stay home and so that you could recover.
Yeah.
Right. Your body's trying to say,
danger.
Hey, we need to like save your energy instead of going out and chopping down trees or whatever like super manly men do.
What do you imagine men do outside of your mind?
Yeah, I don't know. They just like walk around with axes and chop trees all day.
They mean like if you go to work, if you're like a male teacher or if you drive a bus or whatever it is that you do.
Right.
Yeah.
But like on those days that you're sick, your body's like, hey, stop spending energy on your activities and spend energy on recovering from,
yeah,
and spend energy recovering from your illness.
Yeah.
And when you have chronic pain or chronic disease, then the same idea like applies. Mm-hmm. It's trying to put you in this state of like depression in a way, because like if you think about cold symptoms, they kind of look similar to depression symptoms.
You want to sleep all the time. Yeah. You want to stay on the couch. You don't want to leave the house. You don't even have the energy to watch TV, because a lot of people think that when you're chronically ill, it's like, oh, must be great to stay at home and watch TV. Uh-huh. You don't feel good.
Right.
If you have to stay home, like if you really have to stay home that day, I can barely concentrate on anything from the pain. It's just like being in this horrible haze. So it's not fun, right? But the point that we're trying to say is, if you have a cold and your body's trying to keep you home so you can heal, you usually do. You usually stay home, you heal.
Right.
And then you go back and you go, I feel fine. And whatever issues you have in your life can be the things you can focus on, because it's not your body.
Yeah.
But if you're chronically ill, your body is telling you that you're sick every day.
Yeah.
And you have to tell your body, actually, no, I am not going to listen to you constantly because I will be in pain every day. Uh-huh. It's just a fact. Like it comes with EDS.
Sure.
I cannot allow myself to listen to, be dictated to
by
what my body says. Because it's going to keep me from going out there and building a ladder. It's going to keep me from going out there and reading my book or meeting people or hanging out with you.
And it's not because your body hates you. Your body's trying to preserve itself. Your body is like believing that it could heal itself, right? Yeah. And the next step that comes from that is like not just, so like depression, whenever people talk about it, they mostly think about it like situationally. They like they equate depression equals sad, right? Because I'm sad about this, I'm sad about my job or sad about my life. But depression could just be like symptomatic of what's happening to your body. Mm-hmm. And the problem that comes afterwards is when you feel this kind of depression, you're like, well, what is the thing that's making me sad? Mm-hmm. What is in my life that's making me sad? So today we have two typhoons about to come and just spit roast Japan in a way. It's not looking good.
Because it's typhoon season. It's like, you know, like there's a winter time in Canada. This is like typhoon season.
And like we could, like the pressure is bad. Like I'm starting to get headaches now. And when I was biking, I was feeling my body being symptomatically depressed. And I was trying to align it with something happening in my life. But that doesn't make sense. I'm enjoying this.
Well, I mean, the pause point that I want to say here is that it's a really big jump to go from acknowledging that your body is in some kind of pain and then to take the next step and say, oh, well, maybe it doesn't have anything to do with my life.
Sure.
So sometimes you need to, like, sometimes you need to say to yourself, what am I feeling right now? Oh, I am feeling depressed. Oh, I am being pretty negative and down.
Yeah.
And then the next step, which a lot of people don't even take, is they don't even acknowledge if they're down. They
just
are. Yeah. You go, I am depressed. Like, it's like, you're like, I am Thor. Like, so I don't like doing that because it didn't work for me. When I was depressed, I stayed in bed for months. Like when my dad was at some of his worst, like, you know, difficult sick points.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Whoa. It's all right, girl. And I remember, but you worked through that.
I did, because to me, I don't want to be, I don't want to be depressed.
Sure.
So then my next step was, okay, I'm not going to be Thor. I'm not going to be depression. I'm still going to experience this body pain. I'm still going to have this symptomatic stuff that's going to convince me that I need to stay home. But the next step is to go, okay, I don't want to be part of that.
Right.
And then you start to think to yourself, well, maybe it's something outside of my body.
Yeah.
Which is what Simon was trying to do. He's going, maybe am I upset about work or am I upset? So he's trying
to
figure out.
Am I upset about my marriage? Like, not at all. Like, I looked at you today and we were talking, like, I feel so great talking to you.
So you got to kind of like, you got to kind of like pull it apart and separate it, you know, and you got to say, okay, if I don't feel bad about any of these things for real, like if I'm not making up reasons, well, then what is it? Well, then it might just be your body. And then you might need to look into what's causing that. It could be food.
Yeah.
It could be drinking. It could be maybe you do drugs. It could be
exactly that. Like,
and that's the next step we're trying to get to.
I think a lot of people believe in themselves a bit too strongly. They're like, I am in full control of like my body and my thoughts and everything. But there are a lot of things that like dictate your thoughts. Like being on a diet, like I'm doing a lot of intermittent fasting. And at the end of a fast, I'm not as happy as I am after having eaten. This is like hormonal, like your hormones change depending on like a fasted state or not. So your diet changes the way that you feel.
We've even talked to people who don't drink, for example, and we've said to them like, you know, oh, why don't you drink? And they don't have any reason outside. They said that it doesn't make them feel good.
Yeah.
So for some people, like if they drink specifically beer, for example, it can make them feel like I don't feel good the next day.
Yeah.
Other people can drink beer and it goes through their body. No problem.
Yeah.
Right. For me, red wine. If I drink more than two glasses of red wine, I will often be sneezing for the whole night. My nose will stuff up.
Yep.
There's something about red wine, the tannins or whatever it is, that causes me to have a histamatic reaction, and I'm like almost allergic to it.
Sure,
yeah. So imagine if I drink two bottles of red wine when I'm out with the girls or something, and then the next day I don't know why I feel so crappy. Like even if I follow it up with water. So when you start to figure out the little tiny things, like this is why people talk about food all the time, right?
Yeah.
You know, have you tried going vegan? Yeah. Have you tried gluten-free?
Have you tried gluten-free? Like, have you tried this? I've recently found refined sugars I don't feel good after eating them.
What kind of definitions for
so like any kind like of candies like candies or anything like that, like any kind of like junk food essentially, like it's fun to eat at the time. It's like, oh my god, this is so flavorful. But like the next day I have terrible farts. Just like earth-shattering wretched farts.
That's why we can't have anyone in our home.
I don't feel great the next day when my body is working through it. I also have this kind of bloating that happens around my body that kind of like stays with me for a while until I exercise. I think it's called like fat. Like that's one of the side effects.
If you eat lots of candy,
that happens. So what we're trying to do a lot more now, you and I, could be described as mindfulness. Being like aware of what's happening to our body. You are mindful right now.
I don't have any more coffee. Sad
you are after
if
not
you're watching
having
our
coffee.
Pod video on our bonus channel. I just ran out of coffee and it was the most horrifying thing ever. But continue.
But we're trying to be mindful and not let our thoughts get us carried away.
Yeah.
Like be like, where are these thoughts originating from? Like, how are the, where are these feelings originating from? Is it just like a situational thing, or is it like a diet thing? Is it a weather thing? Is it a health thing?
And let me tell you, when you start putting these little tools into your toolkit, things that you can like look and assess, like imagine, you know, when I was younger and I was in high school, if I felt sad, like if I woke up in the morning, like of course I've had EDS my whole life, but I didn't know what EDS was doing to my body because no one really knew about it. Right. So when I was in high school and I would wake up, like I barely slept. First of all, I had a major sleeping issues. I had insomnia for almost a year. I would be like dead walking. Like I would like narcoleptic sleep for real. Like I would be standing somewhere and then someone would shake my shoulder and I'd be like, oh, duh! And I'm like at my locker.
Microsleeps are what they called.
Oh, I didn't know what they were, but I was like zoning out all the time. And everyone's like, well, you're a high school student, you're stressed out, you know? And so I just kept thinking this lack of sleep, which would then build up, made everything else more sensitive. So if somebody says something about you, or if you start to feel like, oh, are people against me? Or you start to get like almost like a crazy person who is really, you know, paranoid and stuff like that. Like I didn't have any of these tools under my belt or anybody to guide me, or any of us really don't, you know.
These are symptoms of your body, physical symptoms just from lack of sleep that wind up dictating your thoughts. You try to put thoughts to like the things that are happening in your body. And then those thoughts of it aren't necessarily caused by like the thoughts aren't what is causing your body pain. It's your body pain that's causing the thoughts. And then those thoughts dictate your actions afterwards and how you behave around other people.
Like a lack of sleep makes you feel like you need to just, you need to go home and sleep. Like that's what your body is like. You need to sleep. Like it literally is pulling the plug on me constantly and making me sleep without my choice. So you think that I'm going to be able to be positive? Do you think that I'm going to be able to like face the challenges of the day? Like when you're exhausted and your body's telling you not. So I feel like these things that we are learning now that we have gotten older and that we're sharing with you guys, like I hope it can help out with some techniques for those of you that might be struggling with feelings like this as well.
Because I also don't want people to feel helpless. And the idea of saying like, I don't have any control of my thoughts and it's just my body and my symptoms. Like, well, no, like once you're aware of what your body's trying to tell you, you could like choose to agree with it or disagree with it or choose to put your body in a different state. I recently started running. I hate it. It's it's always, I hate it and I love it because like running is just, it doesn't feel good when I'm doing it. Right. Like I'm there and I like people are running past me. I'm not a fast runner. I'm just trying to get into it. I see people doing so much better and they seem to be breathing better than me. But I know that what I feel at the end of the run, like my body feels great. Like I feel like I've accomplished something. I feel like my body's got like good chemicals pumping through it. Like it's a really good feeling afterwards. The whole process in between of the of striking one foot in front of another is a challenge. But that feeling that my body has afterwards is what I'm looking for, you know? And those are different things that you could do. Like if you listen to what happens to your body, the different actions, emotions. Some people feel good eating some food. Some people don't feel good eating those foods.
Which is why we're always so, I mean, we're against it, but we're not angry about it. We're so against when people try to say to someone who's ill that they should do this to cure them. Like when someone says to somebody who has a disease of any kind, or you're fighting anything, and they are like, you should go gluten-free because it'll help you.
Right.
Or why are you still eating gluten? Like,
people are so definitive with their answers. Yeah. You know,
I want to let people know the reason why being gluten-free or giving up alcohol or not drinking coffee or being a vegan works for different people is because our bodies are so different.
Everyone's body is different.
There's all answer.
All these standardized diets of like, you should eat this and you should eat that, that doesn't work because everybody has a different body state. Everybody has a different mental state. Everybody has different chronic symptoms.
Some of us can like pound back, you know, huge amounts of junk food and just process that and just dump it out of your body. Some of us can't do that. Like, some of us, our bodies don't even have the right chemicals to break things down. Like for me and fat, like I've only just realized that if I have something that's too fatty and oily, I will be throwing up that night. Do you know how many years this took me to figure out? I was throwing up all over Korea.
It took a while.
Over Korea. I was like, bleh.
All over. It's just like rolling down the window. Hey, girl, can I buy you a bleh? Yeah.
It's a new shirt. Copyright 2019. No, I mean like samgyeopsal and like ogeopsal and like the skin, the fat skin that I used to love. And what was it called again? Oh my gosh, have we forgotten
Goptaegi?
No, goptaegi is the bum holes. That's like the... Goptaegi is the intestinal tract.
Sal is...
I wanted to say sal as well, but oh my God, it's so sad that we can't remember this.
Oh no.
It was like,
these words are being taken from me.
We'll look it up and remember it. But the point is that like we would grow all this stuff and eat all this food, and I'd always feel like a little bit queasy later on. I never really knew why. I felt kind of bloated, but I'm eating like straight up fat, right? And so if I'm eating so much fat, my body just couldn't digest it.
Right.
And then it all finally clicked in when
I got
older.
I don't feel that way when I have really fatty foods.
Nope.
Like when, like if I have like a Japanese steak that's like really well marbled, it does a lot more havoc on your body than it does on mine.
Yeah. I mean, and it's an amount that I consume.
Yeah.
So in our most recent videos where we had Japanese beef that was more marbled and fatty, I only consumed a smaller amount of it. Well, before I might have ordered like a bigger steak because believe me, I can eat.
Right.
Oh, our rice cooker. Shh, let people hear it. Oh.
What?
Yeah.
Please don't let this song be copywritten.
Oh my God, we find out it's like the most copywritten song in Japan.
Rice. I wish I could eat rice all the time. Mm-hmm. But like people in Japan can like metabolize it a lot easier and they don't gain the kind of weight that I gain, the kind of softness that like my rice addiction is giving to me. You
but I've also noticed that, for example, this might be just too much information for you guys, but since moving to Japan, eating when I eat white rice or when I eat Japanese noodles, and that's pretty much the major carb choice that I do now.
Right.
We rarely eat bread.
Yeah.
Like we rarely... As there's a loaf of bread hiding somewhere.
But it's these are three slices
that
will
of bread
be spread
that, like,
over like a week.
A week, you know? You know. Yeah. And what I've noticed is that I'm not gassy and farty anymore.
Yeah.
Like I rarely fart ever. Right. I know that girls joke about how we don't fart, but like, I mean, I rarely fart. Sometimes when I fart, I'm like, what's this feeling in my body?
Mm-hmm.
But before, when I was eating a lot more carby things or consuming sugar or other things that I didn't really think about how they were reacting in my body, I would just be like a normal farty person.
Yeah.
But now it's like I've noticed the way that my body puts fat on or takes fat off, like how much of a balance of things. I never paid attention to that before, right? And you know what? To be fair, when I was younger, I was able to eat an entire medium pizza by myself and not gain any weight because I was 18 and my body was on its way up to being as healthy as it could be.
I'm not sure if I shared this yet on radio, but I remember like we were discussing this. I remembered when I would visit like with my parents, my sister's apartment in Toronto.
I love this story.
Along the way, there was this like place that sold Chewy Chips Ahoy. Well, what company makes them?
Christy.
Yeah, they had a Christy factory. And
okay.
And I would like get a really cheap, like a full 20, like four roll containers.
Okay, hang on. So what Simon's trying to tell you guys is that there are these factories in Canada sometimes where they have discount stuff for like slightly broken cookies. Like there was a Hershey's factory as well.
Yeah.
You get like a sack of half broken candy that was perfectly fresh.
And I would get this whole thing of Chewy Chips Ahoy, which was like maybe like a 10 minutes away from my sister's place. And I would finish it by the time I got there.
How many cookies was that?
And I did
like
it. Like 20. I would just like eat through the whole thing. I could not do that now without feeling terrible the next day.
Yeah.
And I think that like we've been focusing a lot about
how much
like,
Mountain Dew you used to drink.
Oh my God. I used to drink 8 cans of soda a day.
eight cans of soda a day. When,
like,
he was in high school.
When I was in high school, one for every single class, one during playing basketball, like one for breakfast.
You had soda for breakfast?
I had soda for everything. Yeah. I don't think I drank regular water until my 20s. You know, like,
what is this? It's so plain
and boring.
Just
plain water?
Yeah.
But, like, we're only talking about how, like, diet changes how we feel. The things that we eat have an impact on how our body feels. Mm-hmm. But it's also not just that. It's also, like, friends that we hang out with, the people that we hang out with. You know that there's some people that you hang out with that you feel good afterwards. Mm-hmm. Your body feels good. And there's some people that you hang out with afterwards that you just feel miserable with afterwards.
But people may not realize that. Yeah. So this is what we're trying to say. Like, we only now are realizing, we call it, like, junk food friends.
Yeah.
So if you have junk food friends in your life, it might feel fun at the time to be hanging out with these people.
Right.
But maybe they're negative.
Yeah.
Maybe they convince you to do bad things.
Right.
Maybe they are like bad influences. You don't know what
they
it is.
They have different priorities in life.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Maybe they're not faithful people or they're not. There are all these different things. You know?
I had some male friends who were very not into their wives. Mm-hmm. And they'd always talk about, like, other women or, like, try to convince me to go to strip clubs with them. Mm-hmm. And I just never felt good around them. And I would never go with them. And those are friendships that I just had to, like, cut off.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make me feel good at all, you know? So we have to pay attention to what our bodies are telling us in all situations in life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so besides talking about food and talking about the people around you, you also have to battle things off with yourself.
Yeah.
Right? The idea of, this is the big one that we've been talking about lately, rumination.
Yes.
So, and of course, we're not just like suddenly knowing all this on our own. We're making an effort to read books about well-being and, I'm trying to see my account. I have a new counselor now because my other counselor left for back home. And so it was really hard to transfer counselors, but I really like her.
Yeah.
So one of the things that is a big problem is like rumination, which means you think about something that happened. Like this is a fake example, but I'm just going to give you an example here. Mm-hmm. Maybe you went to an event or you did something and you met somebody, you said something. And then later on the next day, you decide to go over everything that occurred. And if you said something embarrassing, should I have said this? Oh, this is what they were thinking about me. And then you waste your energy by spending, let's say, an hour or two thinking about all the things that went wrong the day before. And, but the fact is that it's done. It's finished. You already had yesterday.
And they might not even have noticed the thing that you were thinking about.
Most
so
of
much.
The time they don't because it's just our own insecurities that we think that we said something stupid or we shouldn't have done that. The person's not thinking about you. They're
and they might
their
have
own...
their own insecurities or their own agendas or their own ideas. They don't sit there like thinking about what you said and being like, well, this is a terrible person and I never want to hang out with him.
In fact, they might be sitting around going, oh gosh, I met that cool person and I said so many embarrassing things. But the point is that this is really unhealthy for us to do. Because we just sit and waste our energy. Like we're going around and instead of thinking about things that we can do to better the day or make our body feel more positive, you know, like I'm going to get this done today or I'm going to make a list or, you know, I'm going to try to cook a new food today. Right. Instead of doing something positive, like instead of building a ladder, we're like kind of going backwards down the ladder and trying to steep ourselves
and stewing in our regrets that won't really help us be any better, but they'll just make us feel a lot worse. So catch yourself in that.
It's really tough, by the way.
Yeah. Because like you think that like I'm just going to logically progress through this whole scenario and it's not good for you.
No, it's not.
And so I think that's a weird way to kind of like wrap this up, even though like the weather is still kind of poopy right now. Yeah. And I know that I feel within my body not great at the moment. I'm going to try to actively do things that will build my ladder today and will give me positive experiences.
Yeah.
There's a Kichijoji Shrine Festival happening today.
One of our least successful videos.
One of our worst videos ever.
If you want to check out a video that really tanked, Simon filmed it without me.
I'm just going to go take pictures this time and I'm going to share that because I don't think it's a video worthy thing.
It was the one where there was no talking. It was just like subtitles explaining what the festival was and there's all the shrines on the shoulder. Please. Check it out. And
so please check it out. Watch it 10 times if you can. Share with your family and friends. So that's it. Everyone check in with yourselves. Yeah. Be kind to yourselves and please take care.
Yeah. And remember that it's not easy. So don't think that we just somehow booted our way up to the top and we were like, oh, I can like reflect and catch myself. And I feel so. No, this is like struggles, y'all.
Super challenging.
It's just that you might as well start it because why not try to feel better.
It's just like lifting weights. Like when you start exercising, you could only lift a little bit weight, but then slowly but surely you get stronger and stronger at it. And like this is like a mental exercise that like you will suck at first.
Yep.
and eventually you'll get better and you will be able to catch these like little mistakes that you make along the way.
That's right. Screw you, rumination. You're not winning this round. Even though I was like, I talked to so many YouTubers and I said embarrassing things.
Oh my gosh, I did say some really embarrassing things, but I'm not going to ruminate over that.
No, because we are also, we're the way we are.
Yeah.
We're the weird, quirky people we are. If we wanted to talk about ramen for 25 minutes and describe it and people were looking at us like, what
please
the?
Stop.
Just,
hey, this is us ruminating.
No, we're not ruminating. We're saying that's who we are. And we, it doesn't matter what they think or didn't think. We've met some great people, had a great time, and we're not going to go backwards and talk about how like embarrassing we are, because we're not.
We're not. You're not embarrassing. I love your hoodie. You're such a cute girl.
I'm hiding
in You're there. Just the cutest girl in the whole wide world, and looking at you makes my tummy feel happy.
And that's how we're going to end it.
Okay. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, guys. Well, let us know in the comment section below if you feel the same way or any techniques that you have. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.